Okay, before we begin, something a little bit random, and when I got Guy to read my notes, sometimes I do because it is a bit random. If I say the word pie, hands up if you think sweet. Hands up if you think savoury. Okay, we'll go for those with sweet. Do you think apple? Do you think apricot? Do you think custard? Oh, what do you think, Lisa? Oh, yes, lemon meringue. Yeah, we had that last night for dinner. Okay, so we've had sweet, haven't we? Have we covered your sweet? Apple and custard? Cal, what was your sweet? Oh, yep, okay. Let's think of that one. Okay, so savoury. Let's think savoury. Bacon and egg. Hands up, bacon and egg. Hands up, cheese. No, mince. Mince pie. Mince and cheese. Yep. Steak. Steak and cheese. Okay, is that everybody? Has everybody put their hand up? What have I missed? Steak and kidney. Mince pie. Smarty pants over there. Ian. Oh, chicken and leek pie. Yum. Yes. Pardon? Did you say fish pie? No, what did you say? Yeah, math pie like Jacob. You're clever. Okay, we've got fish pie. Yeah, we've got so much. Now, okay, there is method to my madness. One word, different meaning, different understanding, different thought patterns. Okay? Alrighty. So as you know, we've been doing a series on the kingdom of God and what it means. And as you have heard over the last couple of weeks, quite a variety of what it means and how we can apply the kingdom of God into our lives. Okay, well, this morning where I want to begin, where I'd like to start, comes from a chance encounter through an email post, a Facebook post, by a woman called Lisa Sharon Harper. And her Facebook post was in response to the racial riots in Charlottesville back in August. Okay. And I don't often read posts of what people put up. I don't. I kind of just flick through, and as if anybody follows me, I like all the crafty things and all the rest of them. But I read through her post about what she wrote, and I found it quite provocative. I found her language incredibly provocative, okay? It provoked me, and I didn't necessarily like what she was saying. Doesn't mean she was wrong by any means, but I didn't like what she had written. But obviously, something within me was kind of thinking, was stirring something up, Spirit of God stirring something inside of me. So I kind of went online and Googled her, Lisa Sharon Harper. And from there, I found out that she had written a book called The Very Good Gospel. I have Kindle, so I downloaded a sample of The Very Good Gospel. And as I was reading through, I read something else which provoked me. I found that after I had read a particular passage, my fingers started to tingle. And I was going like this. And I started to do a lot of deep breathing. And again, yeah. And when I read through it again, at one stage, it actually brought tears to my eyes. It moved me so much. I'm going to share with you what it is. And you'll probably sit there going, what on earth? But. So this is Lisa Sharon Harper from her book, The Very Good Gospel. Shalom is what the kingdom of God smells like. It's what the kingdom looks like and what Jesus requires of the kingdom's citizens. It's when everyone has enough. It's when families are healed. It's when shame is renounced and inner freedom is laid hold of. It's when human dignity, bestowed by the image of God in all humanity, is cultivated, protected, and served in families, faith communities, and schools, and through public policy. Shalom is when the capacity to lead is recognized in every human being and when nations join together to protect the environment. That left me breathless. That left my fingers going, ooh. And that left me sighing with a deep breath. So my first question went and goes to, well, so what is shalom? And shalom is a word that I have very casually typed and sent in response to some Jewish friends overseas as they send out on a Friday night, shalom, Shabbat. And I reply, shalom. But shalom, the word shalom, is used over 500 times in the Bible. Shalom is a Hebrew noun that means peace and wholeness. Shalem, a Hebrew verb that means to make right and to restore. Shalem is a Hebrew noun that means peace offering. Shalem is also a Hebrew adjective that means loyal or devoted. And Erin, if I've got the pronunciation wrong, a Greek noun that means peace. To put all of this together, shalom means well-being. It means wholeness, the perfection of God's creation, abundance, and peace. So what does shalom look like? And the best example of what shalom looks like is represented in the first two chapters of Genesis. It's the best example of what well-being, wholeness, and the perfection of God's creation, abundance, and peace. And so we read. And this is where I love how the Spirit of God lays the way forward. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So the Hebrew words used for without form and void and darkness means that there was chaos and desolation. It wasn't a neutral place, nor was it a positive place. In fact, it was a wholly dark, empty, nothing space. Now, these words would have been written to the those first people. Okay, now let me backtrack a wee bit. These books, the first two chapters of Genesis were written after the Hebrews had come out of exile. Okay, so they had been enslaved for many years and now they were out of bondage, they were out of slavery, and they come and they were the first ones to hear these words. They knew what darkness was like. They had lived under the shadow, under this domination. It was a terrible place. And so for them to hear that this was what it was like, they completely and utterly identified with it. So yes, their ears would have pricked up. But first of all, they would have heard that God was there in the beginning. So there was darkness. And if we know what it's like, and has been spoken about already this morning, if we know what it's like to be in a place of darkness, a place of heaviness, a place where it seems like no form and no structure, it seems like no hope, in the scripture it says, the Spirit of God hovers. And then into the story we hear God speaking. And what does God do? He says, let there be light. Someone needs to hear this message this morning because it's being repeated from the prayer room and to hear through the worship. Where there is darkness, God speaks light and he speaks life and he speaks hope. And God saw that the light was good and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening and there was morning, and that was first day. So God speaks over the darkness and the chaos, and light comes. And light is good. And we notice in this scripture that light doesn't eliminate the darkness, but that light creates boundaries around the darkness. And there is no darkness where there is light. There is still darkness, but there is life in the light. And then from there, God goes on to create the sky and the atmosphere, and it was good. And then he created the land and sea, and he also called that good. The stars came, and the sun and the moon, they were good. Day 5 saw the creatures of the sea, made along with the birds of the air, and they were good too. And then came the creatures that would live on the earth, including mankind, of which God would declare it was very good. So when God spoke, when God speaks, creation takes place. When the breath of God speaks, the Ruach breath of God was released and life became. And it was good. It was very good. And then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. And in Genesis 2, it talks of God forming man. And so using some artistic license, and you know, we don't know that God was in a man, you know, form of a human. But can you imagine him bending down in the dust, because we were made out of dust, and creating us, forming us with his hands, with his own hands. And then almost like a kiss as he bends over to breathe life into us. I know it sounds very romantic, but this is the God that we love and serve and who loves us. He's a loving God who desires intimacy with us. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And if we can just pause here, and allow the enormity of this to sink in a little. If we are, as the scriptures say, all made in the image of God, how we treat ourselves and how we treat others is done to one who bears the image of God. So when we are kind and we're caring and we're thoughtful and we do all those beautiful, loving things that Christians should do, then we do that. We do it to others who bear the image of God. But when we don't tell the truth, we lie. When we don't give as we should. When we, you know, sort of ignore someone, or when we do things that aren't good, that aren't right to others, then we do that to someone who bears the image of God as well. Quite an interesting, and I think a really sobering thought. And then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so we read that God gave humankind dominion. And I know that my initial thoughts of dominion really is domination, you know, which is where the word comes from. And domination is when people exercise power and rule over others for their own end, not for the good of all. And I wonder too if maybe we have had that kind of experience where people have, we've thought of having dominion or domination, where we've lived that way, whether we've lived under it, whether we've in our homes, you know, with parents, or at work where you've got one of those bosses, or you're in school and you've got people and friends who kind of seem to be over you. But the author of Genesis 2 calls the people to till the land and to keep it. And those Hebrew words translated mean to serve and to protect. So that sounds more like the nature and the character of God, doesn't it? That we would serve and we would protect. And that's us having dominion over who we have. And again, we think of dominion over the earth. We think of it being something like that, but it's over, you know, within our families. We don't rule from above, but we serve and we protect. It really changes the way that we would look, how we work, where we are in schools or workplaces. Dominion and stewardship look like serving and protecting, not self-serving domination. See, God could have kept the power to himself, but no, he shares it with us, because that's what love looks like. So this is a glimpse of what the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, looked like, and how shalom is represented and displayed. So in this story, in this imagery, we see well-being, we see wholeness, we see that everything is well, we see God's perfect creation is in right order, and we see abundance and peace, shalom. We see shalom between God and humanity. We see shalom between mankind, between man and woman. We see shalom between humanity and creation. And we see shalom between God, humanity, and creation. Shalom. 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 And then we know, turn the page to chapter 3, that shalom was lost. Instruction was given, choice was exercised, and instantly shalom was broken. It was broken between God and humanity, between man and woman, between humanity and creation. And very quickly we see shalom broken within the family. The kingdom of God, the kingdom that God established here on earth, was no longer. And we see this around us. And as we read in our Bibles, we see what broken shalom looks like. But what we also see is the heart of God and his desire for relationship and for his connection with his people, because we see the torch being passed down through the generations until there is good news. At just the right time, God gave his son Jesus, the physical embodiment of the long-awaited kingdom, the light of the world. And first of all, the good news came to Zechariah about John. That was really good news for Elizabeth and Zechariah. And then the next time that good news is mentioned in the Bible is to the shepherds. You know, they're out there working, and this is good news. Guys, this is really good news. And so they drop everything and they run to go and see Jesus. And then John speaks out about the good news. The good news. The good news. Behold, here he is. And then even Jesus himself speaks of the good news. In Luke 4, one Sabbath, Jesus goes into the synagogue. Everyone's looking and waiting. And he takes hold of a scroll and he opens it up and he stands up and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled it back up and then he said, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the gospel. This is the good news. The good news is that our sins are forgiven, and through the complete work of Christ on the cross, we can enter into a relationship now on earth with God. But not only now, but for eternity. This is good news. And I remember the joy that I had when I first gave my life to Jesus. The freedom, the hope, the love. It was just massive. It was huge. But there's so much more than just our personal salvation that he speaks of here. See, through Christ we can live and see and usher in the kingdom of God and see shalom restored here on earth as much as it can be this side of eternity. Through Jesus, shalom is restored between you and God, between me and God. Shalom is restored within ourselves through Jesus. Shalom is restored through Jesus between male and female when we live out the kingdom way. Shalom is restored between mankind through Jesus. And shalom is restored between mankind and creation when we live this kingdom way. This life of abundance, of peace, of wholeness, of well-being is ours today as we live in and walk in the kingdom of heaven. See, Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. How do we know how to live? Jesus shows us the way. What is the truth? Well, he is the truth. but he would speak the truth and he would live out truth. And how do we obtain life, that abundant and eternal? Through believing on the name of Jesus. Now, the kingdom way was obviously not a way that the Jews or the Gentiles really understood. And we know this because when we read in the book of Matthew, over 30 times Jesus says, hey, this is the way, the kingdom. This is, you know, if you want to know this is the way, this is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. The kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like this. And, you know, I started to think, why would you have to say it so often? Because they didn't know what the way was. He didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. And he was saying, watch me, look at me. Let me show you a picture. Let me create some imagery here for you to understand what the way is, because it's very different to what it is that you're doing now. See, the early church, which we call the early church, was not called the early church. They were called the way. They were people of the way. And in Acts, there's quite a few references to the way, being people of the way. And they were acknowledged because of the way that they lived, which was different. And it had to be different because now it also included Jew and Gentile. It was for everyone. It was not contained for a special few. It was and it is for all. And the way, yeah, they did. They did things really differently. And as we read through the book of Acts, yes, we see the signs and wonders, we see the healings and the miracles, and that is fantastic. But what we also read of is how they cared for the poor. And if there was a need, then people would sell things so that everybody had enough. There was enough for everybody. And that was contrary to the way of the time. This is a new way. So what does it mean for us? What is the kingdom way? It's when we acknowledge that we are all created in the image of God. That was so profound for me. And as I go back through what Lisa Sharon Harper said in that initial thing that I read, shalom is what the kingdom of God smells like. See, the kingdom of God is not just a thought or an idea. It's something that we engage our whole being. We have to smell, we have to touch, we have to do. You know, we have to engage with our whole beings. It's not just with our minds. It's everything. And when I think of smell, I think of aroma, which is nice. I think of something cooking in the oven, because there is that hope and that expectation of something good coming. Yep, if you've got bread in the oven, it's like, bread's coming. The kingdom of God is like this aroma, something good's coming. God's way, it's a good thing. Yes, it does say that the aroma of the presence of the Spirit of God in our lives can be sweet to some and a stench to others. But we continue on praying that we are a sweet aroma. It's what the kingdom looks like and what Jesus requires of the kingdom citizens. This is what we're called to. We are people of the way, and we have to walk this way. It's when everyone has enough. It's when we acknowledge that we who have enough can fill the need of those who do not have enough. Lisa has shared this morning, there are people who do not have enough. Because there is abundance in the kingdom of God. There is generosity in the kingdom, because this is the nature of God. There is no need for anyone on this planet to be without basic needs. You know, what is our response? It's when families are healed. It's when families, through bloodline or bloodboard, choose to work through the challenging times, to call out the good, to acknowledge our responsibility to serve and protect one another. You know, 1 John 2 very distinctly says that if we say we love God, we need to love one another. Because if we don't love one another, then we're actually walking in darkness, not in light. We want to be people who walk in the light. It's when shame is renounced and inner freedom is laid hold of. This is so incredibly profound. When peace and wholeness, devotion and loyalty are not only part of our language but our action too, we will ourselves be unburdened and unshackled by shame. And in partnership with the Spirit of God, we can indeed lay hold of the freedom so lovingly and painfully bought for us. It's when human dignity, bestowed by the image of God in all humanity, is cultivated and protected and served in families, in faith communities, in schools, through public policy. Human dignity, which bestowed by the image of God on all humanity. Everybody bears the image of God. You know, this is what having dominion means, that we will serve and protect others. Those that can't serve and protect themselves, those that, for whatever reason, you know, they choose another way, but we choose to serve and protect mankind because we know that they bear the image of God, as do we. Oh, yeah. And when we do this, this is when we see people restored, when they find their shalom with God and themselves and with others. Shalom is when the capacity to lead is recognized in every human being. It's recognizing the capacity and the responsibility of each of us that we have. And not just espousing it, but actually living it out. You know, we live in an age where we're very quick to declare what our rights are, but do we live out and through our responsibilities? And it's when nations join together to protect the environment. You know, when we see our differences not as hindrances, but use them to our advantage and good, then we will not only be caring for ourselves and for others, but for our environment too. And as we care for our environment, then we care for ourselves and we care for others. Just this fantastic cycle that continues on. And as we choose to live out of the kingdom of heaven, personally and corporately, as we intentionally participate in helping to restore shalom, that is when God is acknowledged and honoured and glorified. This is how the world will know that we are his disciples, because we love one another, we serve one another, we honour and we call out the good and we encourage one another. They will see God in us and they will see God through us. And so now we come to communion. You know, the night before his crucifixion, Jesus took the bread and the wine and he said, "Remember me. Remember what I taught. Don't forget what I did, how I loved, and who I loved. Remember." In John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Shalom I leave with you. My shalom I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." And this message is still the same today. We need to remember and we need to go and do likewise. As we participate in communion this morning, I would like for those who are going to be handing out the emblems to come and stand up front. And I'd like us to be able to come up and receive the emblems. And as we do, receive the shalom of God. And then, what I'd really like you to do is then go and offer your cracker and your juice to another in shalom. And as you do so, to speak a word of shalom over them, to speak a word of well-being, a word of wholeness, a word of abundance and peace, a blessing, a word of hope, and a word of healing. Because this is the kingdom of God in love, in action. Before we do, can I pray? You love us so incredibly. And I pray that as we sit here, I pray that your words, your whispers, your presence will speak love over every person here. In Jesus' name. And I speak shalom over us all in Jesus' name. Well-being, wholeness, abundance, and peace in Jesus' name. God, we are truly grateful for this love that draws us, that holds us, that sustains us, that fills us, that sends us. And I pray that as we receive your shalom through the incredible love and act of sacrifice of Jesus, we would also give shalom, sharing the kingdom of heaven in a beautiful way. Thank you that you call us to walk in the way of the kingdom. Help us, Lord, to have eyes to see others, that we all bear the image of God. Give us the strength to love and to serve others, and to protect others, Lord God. Oh God, that you would be honored, that you would be glorified, and that shalom would be restored in Jesus' name. Amen. Come and receive the emblems.